You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hi out there, folks. Welcome to another episode of Honestly Real Estate. I am your host, Mark Schaffner. With me, as always, are my amazing co-hosts and colleagues, Matthew Marsupian and Bethany Reyes. Matthew, Bethany.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Marcus. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys today?
I'm tired.
Bethany's always honest. Man, I got to tell you. So last week we were talking about, you know, should you wait until spring to list your home? Spring has sprung, baby. It is a heat wave out there. 47 degrees.
It's 60 degrees.
Oh, it's 60 degrees? My truck must be wrong.
Yeah, my truck said.
Oh, it's 60 outside?
I don't have a truck. I have an SUV, which is what you technically have too.
Well, yeah, well.
But it said 59.
It sounds cooler to say truck.
I know. Dudes do that. Why do they do that?
Go to truck.
Dude, you don't got a truck unless there's a bed.
Thanks.
Right?
I kind of want it to be
a
truck.
No, you're right. Yeah. You're right. Just because it's four-wheel drive doesn't mean
you got
it's
a Laredo. Isn't that what you...
No, it's an Overland. That kind of says truck, doesn't it?
Kind of. I had the sunroof cracked.
Yeah, I did too. I was driving
living
down the road.
On the edge.
Yeah.
And this, your hair.
This is Michigan, baby. I got to tell you, I saw a guy with the top down. I saw a bro with the top down, and he was playing Usher.
Cruising down Woodward.
I kid you not, man. He was feeling it. Enjoying the weather. I was just actually, literally, before I came here, there was a kid out in front of his home simulating a baseball game by himself.
Aww.
It gave me hope, though, because I figure most kids are just inside playing Fortnite, learning how to floss.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, that's true.
This guy was outside.
Using
his imagination. Mm-hmm. It was a really good thing to say. But hey, spring has sprung.
Yeah,
it's
so
here.
Hopefully the snow is going to melt and we're going to be done, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
I feel like we say this every year. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
But, and then we get maybe like one more. We can do one more blast.
But it won't stick around.
Not that I want it, but one we could do.
You really put that out there into the universe right now.
I would take one rather than like 2 months.
Yeah. Well, it's spring. Spring is sprung. The spring real estate market is. But before we say that, Instagram is down.
I know.
What are we going to do?
I had to like consult with people to make sure that I deleted it on my phone. Reinstalled it. Like I tried everything, and then I finally just started texting people. Like, is the gram down? Like, I have important stories that I need to post.
People need to see my Instagram stories. I was wondering the same thing too, and I didn't know it until I got in here that it was down. So
it's like when the big grid went down, and we all had to like barbecue and swim in pools.
Talk to people. Interact with people.
Oh my gosh,
the humanity. Yeah, Instagram is
playing baseball outside by myself. That's why he's out there.
His internet was probably down. The whole internet's probably down.
You know what? It's actually probably the government's attempt to get everybody outside to exercise.
There's going to be fires in the street anarchy when we get out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Amazing. Instagram is down, but hopefully we all survive that. But we've got a great topic today that I think is going to be really good for our listeners because I think a lot of people face this scenario. And, selling a home and buying a home, you know, if you want to buy a new home and you have a home to sell, navigating those waters, because it can be a very complicated thing and there's a lot of moving parts here and, you know, you don't want to sell a home too quick and have to do two moves or, you know, what if you find the home of your dreams and you can't buy it? So, that's the topic that we have today that we want to share with our listeners is what do you do when you have a house to sell and you want to buy a new home and how do you go about navigating that?
So yeah, a lot of moving parts, you know, a couple weeks ago we talked about, just the idea of why, you know, selling in the winter time isn't necessarily a bad thing. The pros and cons to that, right?
Right. Exactly. There's a lot of reasons to do it, you know, less competition, you know, more serious buyers in the market, you name it. We went through quite a few things. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, go and listen to it. It's a really good thing. A lot of pros and cons, but
interestingly, you know, I've got a couple of different areas that I, you know, work with a lot of buyers and sellers, and so I've got some auto alerts when new homes pop on the market. I don't know about you guys, but I've seen a lot of homes pop on the market recently.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are this is indicative of, I think, the beginning of the spring market, right?
Exactly.
Where the sellers come out of the woodwork, the buyers come out of the woodwork. So, you know, not to say it's too late, if you will, but now is the time. But unlike last year, where inventory was really low and homes went with multiple offers, and it really freaked a lot of sellers out because they didn't want to be stuck in that situation. We talked about recently, the past few episodes, how it's been leveling out, right?
Yeah. It's a much more balanced market.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the idea of, you know, and a few other things we were talking about off the air was, what is going on right now? Interest rates, right? They crept up. They went back down. Mm-hmm. They're at a really good amount right now.
Yeah.
I think the economy overall is pretty good. People are feeling pretty positive.
Yeah.
So if you're a family, let's say, or maybe you're just looking to upgrade from a condo, right? Bethany, you've got a condo coming up, really awesome one in Royal Oak.
Ooh, that's a good one.
You're going to upgrade to maybe a single family home or a bigger condo. You know, it's a really good time to think about that, you know, we say forever home.
Yeah. Or, you know, depending on what your scenario is, we see a lot of people moving out of a Royal Oak bungalow into that, you know, 3,200 square foot home in whatever city they might be looking to. Whatever the scenario is, I think a lot of people face that, what do I do? So where does somebody start?
And one Go other ahead. Thing real quick on that, I've had, you know, more than a handful of people come and tell me like that is the thing that scares them the most. And especially with kids, or pregnancy, you know, kids on the way, you know, it's so much to balance to move at all. But the thought of like having to live with parents, your parents or family members, or rent something and move twice and school's starting. So it's really, you know, for single people and for people without kids, it has its own challenges. But for people with kids, I've had many people honestly really scared about that.
It can get really dicey.
What's the easiest thing to do? The easiest thing to do is do nothing and stay put.
Sure.
But if you really have a driving factor that makes you want to get into that new home, whether that's that great school district, right?
Yep.
Or, you know, like you said, baby, right? And you need that one extra bedroom, or, you know, you just need more space.
Yeah. We had a client who got pregnant with twins, and it was a two or a three bedroom home?
They lived in a three bedroom home, but it was the typical ranch in
Clawson.
I think it was just about 1,000 square feet.
Right, exactly.
And
it would have been tight.
It would have been tight. That baby's sleeping, the whole house has to be dead silent. Yeah. You know, so, when the baby wakes up, everybody's awake, you know.
So when you have your why, right, when you have your big reason for motivation, I think it's important to focus on that, because the big picture, the end goal, is the most important.
Right.
But like you said, what's the first step?
Yeah.
I think it's...
Where do you start?
It's sitting down and developing a plan. Right. And that means working with a great real estate agent and speaking with a mortgage lender about your different options, because there's a lot of different avenues you can do.
Yeah.
You can not look at a single house and you can stay put and put your home on the market and then figure out. You can go look at homes, or you can do them both simultaneously. And there's pros and cons to all of that.
Right. So one of the first steps that we tell most of our clients is, you know, of course, step number one, meet with an experienced agent, sit down and make a plan. And the first thing a good experienced real estate agent is going to tell you that you need to get pre-approved, because your scenario is either going to be that you can purchase your new home before you sell your old home, or you absolutely must sell your old home to purchase the new home. And you have to get pre-approved first.
Talk a little bit more about that, Mark. What do you mean? How would someone be able to buy without selling their current home?
Well, and one of the things we talked about earlier is that we want to be careful on the show here about using acronyms, but DTI is something you're going to hear when you talk to your mortgage lender, your debt to income ratio, debt versus your income. And depending on how much money you make is going to determine what your ability to qualify for a mortgage is. So technically speaking, a mortgage lender is going to either approve you or not approve you on the ability to pay for both of your mortgages. So if you have a mortgage on house number one of say $1,500 per month, all in principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. Let's say that's roughly $1,500 per month. And you're looking to purchase a new home where your principal, interest, taxes, and income, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance are $2,000 a month. Your income has to be able to qualify to support a $3,500 per month mortgage. Your debt to income ratio needs to be within the threshold that's going to, that you're going to be able to technically afford both of those mortgages. Now, most people don't want two mortgages, right? Nobody wants to carry that for too long. So the idea is that you do sell your home first, but the mortgage lender is going to want to see if you can qualify for those first.
Yeah, one of the most important things to understand is, you know, most people would say, unless they live on a very small percentage of their income, that there's no way that they could afford that. However, you have to understand when a mortgage banker looks at that, they're looking at the gross. They're not looking at the other bills that you might have. And again, don't let me think about, you know, the idea of talking into a loan that doesn't make sense for you. They're going to talk about the pros and cons, but most people are actually surprised to learn that they might be able to qualify that. And then they also have to think about the down payment, right? If you're right. not selling your current home, do you have the funds to be able to put down on a new home and close on that before you've sold your current home? And those funds can come from a number of different ways.
Yeah, hang on. Let me slow you down just a little bit there. So it might be a scenario where, let's say we have $50,000 worth of equity in house number one, but if we don't sell that—
I'm just breaking it down for everyone.
Yeah, it's the difference between what you owe in the mortgage and what the house is worth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So if your mortgage is $150,000 and the house is worth $200,000, how much equity do you have?
$50,000.
There we go.
But if you're
hang on, let me check your mouth.
If you're to sell it, there's some fees involved and commissions and such. But yes, essentially, you don't have the ability to access those funds, right? That's like it's like money sitting there, but you don't get it until you sell your home. So how could you access it?
Well, what if you don't? Well, there's a few different ways that you can access it. One is a bridge loan.
Sure.
Which we're seeing more and more these days. Lenders are doing them. You can actually pull that equity out of the home. It's a short-term loan to put it as a down payment on the new home.
Yeah.
These were something that lenders weren't doing for a number of years after the crash, and they're back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a really great scenario. Most of the lenders that we work with offer that, and that's a great thing to do.
Maybe you're not comfortable doing that, but you know, you can get a short-term gift from a family member or friend. You can also take a short-term loan from a—
Wait, actually, let me stop you on that.
Yeah.
What's a gift? Let's talk a little bit more about that. I can get a gift from a family member.
So in the United States, an individual is allowed to give another individual up to a certain amount of money tax-free. And other than that, you know, they have to pay taxes on it. You have to pay gift taxes on it. However, if it's a short-term gift or if it's a temporary or if it's some sort of a way to bridge a gap, right? You can be able to get the funds from someone without them you paying taxes on it, as long as they're stating that that's not money that you're going to have to pay back. If you're going to pay back, if it's mom and dad or they're taking it out of the will one day, you know, they can do that. But it allows you to kind of bridge that to be able to purchase. But if you don't have a wealthy family member or friend or someone that can't, you know, maybe you've got a bunch of money in a 401k, you know, you can do a short-term gift from a retirement vehicle or a 401k or some even a whole life short-term.
Whoa, wait a second, Matt. I don't want to pull money out of my retirement for a house. That's my retirement.
Of course.
Wait. So, but you can do that. See, that's one way to bridge the gap.
There's some creative options and some different scenarios that you can discuss both with your mortgage lender as well as maybe a financial advisor, your CPA, as well as your agent to figure out what makes the most sense for you.
But that scenario where, let's say, for example, you did pull $50,000 out of a 401k, that's a short-term loan that you're giving yourself. So when your house does sell, you pay that back.
Yep.
And then you don't pay any, because everybody knows if you pull money out of a 401k, you pay a penalty and you don't want to do that. That's for when you retire. But if you do that and you pay it back, you don't pay any penalty, which is great.
But if you do have the money set aside, perhaps you've been squirreling money away in the side fund and you can put a minimum down payment on that new home. I know a lot of people say, well, what about when I sell my old home? Then I do have that influx of cash, right? I've already closed on my new home. I don't want to have to refinance. There's something that a lot of mortgage lenders offer, which is called a recast feature.
Yeah.
And we're not doing acronyms. So let's say that you're buying a new home with $400,000 and you only have $20,000 in savings, right? So in theory, you owe $380,000. You can pay down additional on that, but it doesn't change your payment structure, doesn't pay change your term. A recast basically allows you to throw a lump of money at that to re-amortize the loan or reset the dollar amount per month that you would pay each month without having to refinance. Ask your mortgage lender about that. I know a lot of them have those options, but they don't really talk about them a lot. And a lot of people don't understand them.
Mm-hmm. So there's options. All right.
Yeah. And that's kind of the majority of people sell their house first. There's not, I don't know what the percentage would be, but the majority of people have to sell their house first.
Well, let me ask
in
you.
In order to, right? I mean.
Then what should we do? I'm a buyer. What should I do first? Should I start looking for homes? Or should I list my house for sale first? Now we let's pretend mm-hmm. we know our options. We whatever they might be, we qualify for two loans or we don't qualify for two loans. We have to do a bridge loan or we don't have to do a bridge loan. We've got our down payment sitting in cash and whatever the scenario might be. What do we do first? Do we list the home first or do we start looking first?
Well, I think that you can actually do both simultaneously. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to pull the trigger and buy that new home without selling your home, especially if you've determined that that doesn't work for you. Either you can't or you're not comfortable doing it. But there's ways to put together an offer on a new home contingent upon the sale of your home.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to remember the fact that not everyone knows what that means, but it allows you to put an offer, right, on a home that you might have found that is perfect for you and your family. But there's a caveat in that mm-hmm. offer, meaning that it is contingent upon the fact that you're going to put your current home on the market, right, and that you're going to sell it, and then you're going to close on your current one. So if you don't sell or the period of time runs up, you guys are not stuck then having to close in that new home or have two house payments.
Okay. So that's a really good scenario. But we all know and we've heard it, and it is a balancing market. Mm-hmm. But what if it's, what if it's an amazing home? Is my contingent offer going to get accepted?
So one thing that I've been doing and that I think is helpful is that if you know for sure you're going to move, now there's different levels of people that are ready, but for a buyer, seller/buyer that knows they're ready to move, knows that that's they're going to move, no matter they're going to find a house and they got to move,
right?
Then we'll start with preparing the house, getting it ready, getting it staged, getting the marketing done, getting the pictures done, so then when I go to put in an offer on a house that they really want and they don't want to lose, I can show all the work that we've already done.
That's a really good point, Bethany. So, and that's where I wanted you guys to go. So that's the plan that you make when you meet with your real estate agent is let's be ready to put your home on the market, list it, and get it, price it right, and get it sold.
Because imagine you're the listing agent and somebody comes up, you get two offers. One, or they're both contingent, let's say. They're right. both buyers have to sell their home first. And you have one offer that's prepared in a way that has documentation to show this is what the house is worth. We've investigated. We've done analysis. This is how we staged it. These are the pictures of the house. This is what it looks like. You can imagine it, right? The feeling for an agent compared to an offer that just has an address and the, contingent on this address, the amount of preparation or information you're providing the agent is very minimal. So if I look at both of those offers, first of all, I'm going to say offer number one, that agent works their butt off his butt off.
Which is a good
thing. And I want to work with somebody like that. They're right. On top of it. They're professional. They're on top of it. They have a plan. They're serious. They're ready to sell.
Yep, the agent is serious and the seller/buyer is serious.
They're not just lobbing around offers around town.
Right. And then on top of it, I have way more ammunition to use when presenting this offer to the sellers. I can show them all of the supporting documents that are provided to show this is a good offer. These people are serious. Look at their house. It's a nice house. It's been staged. It's pretty. The pictures are great.
Yep. We've priced it right.
You know,
it's going to go on the market in 2 days.
Compared to like, you know, we got a house in Royal Oak. We're going to sell. This is the address.
It's going to sell. See, we get that all the time, you know, on our listings. Contingent offers will come in and the agent will say, hey, it's a great house. It's going to sell. What would you rather have as an agent? Or would you rather have Bethany that says, hey, it's a great house. It's going to sell. And let me show you everything.
Here's a 10-page document to support what I'm saying.
Exactly. A seller is just looking for anything other
security,
than a surety of close, right? Yeah. What's the highest probability that this home is going to close?
Because for everyone, it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing the limbo that you can kind of be in. So the more security and, you know, information you can provide them, the better. So, you know, but I don't think I've ever seen anybody else besides Metro Group do that. I mean, maybe you guys have.
So it's interesting you say that. I had a closing on Monday. We closed on my buyers, the home they sold. Thank you. The ones they sold and the ones they bought in the same day. We figured out back to back. But interestingly, last year they attempted to sell and they were working with an agent that hadn't done a lot of things to sell their home, but, had told them straight up, I don't think you should put an offer on anything that you see. They're not going to accept that contingency. Just blanket statement.
Wow.
And, you know, depending on the market, you could probably make a pretty good determiner for that, whether that's not true. But the fact is that, like, they didn't have a plan. He didn't even prepare it or put together. They just felt deflated. And they ended up just ultimately.
I feel really bad for them.
They just don't feel too bad. We ended up finding the perfect house.
Yeah, right. And the perfect agent.
Well, I'm bad for them. Glad they found you, though.
Right. No, but you know, you know why I think that guy said that is because, one, he didn't have an experience doing it. And two, he wasn't confident in how to put that together, right?
Right.
If I would have gone into this business not doing it full time, it's just a totally different understanding of what's going on. You don't have your pulse on the cities. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what the real estate market, you know, what to expect, you know? So maybe he did it in a way to be prudent and to try to protect them, because it can be heartbreaking. But I think that you're also, you just like deflated them, they were super excited and now you're telling them there's no way when that's just not the truth.
Well, and it might be a scenario too, like Matt was talking about, that this agent doesn't have much experience listing and selling homes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's good to know if you're a real estate agent, if they're, you know, helping you buy a home, what is their plan and what is their experience as a listing agent as well? Because those are two very different things. Our team is fortunate enough that, you know, there's five of us. Some of us specialize more on the buy side of things. Some of us specialize more on the list side of things, but we're able to collaborate as a team to serve our clients and help them, you know, buy and sell homes. But if you're working with an agent that is primarily a buyer's agent, they might not have the type of plan that Bethany just laid out in putting it in a contingent offer.
Yeah. And I think in parallel to what you were saying, you know, putting together the offer for the home that you might buy, at the same time, you should be doing all of those things to get it up and ready. All right. And there's a few different scenarios I think that can come up. It's the chicken or the egg, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to put my home on the market.
By the way, I think the chicken came first. Anyway, carry on.
Okay. Interesting.
I
mean, I guess it goes back to like your belief system, right?
I think Neil deGrasse Tyson actually weighed in on this one.
Whatever he said, I think I just agree with him.
I'm with Neil too.
Yeah.
You know, if you put your home on the market first, at the same time you go out looking at new homes, what happens if you sell it the first weekend and you become homeless?
Can we do this? Can we talk worst case scenario in both of those?
Okay. Sure.
So go ahead. We've listed my home for sale because, you know, I don't think my house is going
to
sell.
Okay. So Mark lives in Royal Oak and Mark wants to move to Farmington Hills.
Yes.
Or somewhere else.
Completely reasonable.
Right.
Farmington Hills is a beautiful town.
Yes.
And I do live in Royal Oak.
Right. So he needs more space. You know, he's going to get a bunch of dogs or something. Mm-hmm. So he needs more space. So let's talk about Mark.
Mm-hmm. You know, let's say he needs to sell his existing home in order to buy the new one. You know, it's hard because you don't want to go out and look at a bunch of homes that you're going to fall in love with that you can't buy, right? Or that you don't have a strong enough contingent offer to do. But at the same time, you don't want to sell and then be stuck and be homeless, right? And people think like this is a bad problem. It's not a bad problem if, again, you are focused on what's the end goal, to get that house in Farmington and have all those dogs.
But I'm scared, man. I want to list my home. I want to put it up. I have to sell my home. I don't qualify for two mortgages. I want to put my home up, and I'd love to try to do them, you know, both simultaneously. Yeah. But I want to list my home.
Totally can be done.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You have to be prepared to do what it's going to take. But your agent's going to have to negotiate the terms just as importantly as the price. What I mean by that is if you just have a home to sell and your ultimate goal is to make the most amount of money, right? The most important thing that's going to come across in an offer is money, is the dollar amount. If they offer the right amount of money, you could be out tomorrow, right? If they offered me $1 million, I'll be out tomorrow. I don't care. You can keep everything. Take my kids. If the money's right, I'll give you my house.
Kids are cute, man.
Buy one, get one.
But if you're not in that position, right, and you don't want to move twice, or that's the goal, right, there is just as important as the terms of that deal potentially as the price.
Yeah, exactly. Now, see,
So what are the terms? What are things that can be negotiated?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just think like the most important thing to sell a house is the price.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's a part of it. That's a big part of it.
Sure. So I've got two offers on the table. I put my home up for sale. I've got two offers. I've got a cash offer, full price, right? Close in 2 weeks.
Cool. You're not going to have to worry
about it. But you have to close in 2 weeks, right? That's right.
Yeah, you've got some pros, right? You don't have to worry about it.
Like
appraisal.
That guy needs a house in 2 weeks.
That money's guaranteed. It's coming.
Yep.
Great.
And there's another offer that comes in. That's 20% down, conventional financing,
okay,
and close in 45 days.
Cool.
And they give me 60 days of occupancy. What does that mean? Break that down for me, because I think a seller might see, you know, those two offers. So
sure.
Cash, no contingencies, close in 2 weeks. What does that mean?
So overall, it means time. It means time because you're elongating the process. You're not closing as quickly, right? So that 45 days versus that 2 weeks, that gives you more time to go out, find a home, put an offer in on that home potentially that, again, might be contingent upon this closing, but gives you time. You're not under pressure so much. Mm-hmm. And then that occupancy part, that's a big part. And maybe the offer didn't have occupancy, but you as a selling
What's
agent.
Occupancy?
What does occupancy mean? I don't know. Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know.
I'm going to be the little birdie chiming in just to make sure that everybody out there knows.
In short, it's some people call it a lease back.
Oh, I haven't heard that. Now I learned something now.
Okay, good. Yeah. So it's the ability that allows the seller, in terms of this context, it allows the seller to stay in the home, right? They go in, they close, they sign everything, but they don't hand over the keys. The new owner have owned it. They've signed all their docs, right? They own the home. And essentially that seller becomes a tenant in their own home that they just signed over.
So you rent your home at a price determined in the offer.
Absolutely.
Or free.
It could be a daily rate.
Right.
It could be a flat fee. It could be free if you have a really, you know, really strong negotiations and you work back and forth. But it's the ability to stay in that home and essentially, you know, you keep the utilities in your name, but you don't you're not paying a mortgage anymore. You're not paying taxes anymore.
And what if I'm Mark and I say, oh God, like I need a month. I know I need a month. And then I get 2 weeks in and I don't need a month. Mm-hmm. Do I have to pay the rest of that month?
No.
Not unless the purchase agreement specifies, but 99% of the time, it allows a maximum amount of time. But if you move or you find that dream home and you coordinate
everything.
You give
them a heads up. You let people know like 3-4 days out. Everyone's excited then because they get to move into their new house.
Yep. So if I have a lease back or if I have 60 days of occupancy, let's say, and after 30 days, I can actually move because I've found and made an offer that got accepted and I can now close on my new home. If I had 60 days worth of occupancy, I can move only after 30 with no penalty.
Absolutely. But that 60 days gives you some assurance. It gives you some peace of mind, right, that you're not going to necessarily have to be kicked out and be on the street, and that in a perfect world you'll have that money from that closing, right? Remember, you have within 45 days all the money from that closing and that you can use to purchase your new home, yet you haven't moved out of your home, right? Mm-hmm. And often I hear from people that they say, I don't want to pay to live in my own home, you know, pay rent. I don't want to pay the new owner's rent. Well, if you think about it, if it's a daily rate that you're paying them, let's say you do have to pay for it, mm-hmm. you know, it's no different, maybe a little bit, a few bucks than what you would be paying if, one, you were still owning your home and you were paying a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Two, if you were paying for an apartment or a short-term rent.
Which would be more.
Absolutely,
right,
more.
Right.
Not to mention the, you
moving
know.
Moving costs.
Double the moving costs if you had to move into something temporarily.
Inconvenience. So, yeah.
For right. peace of mind, to be able to stay in the home and not have to be on the closing and not have to move twice, it's exactly what my sellers just did on Monday. They closed on their new home. They have 35 days of occupancy. They closed on the home that they purchased that afternoon, right? The funds went from one title company to another, the money, mm-hmm. right? So they were able to close. And now they can spend the next 2 weeks painting their new home, getting it cleaned, doing some updates, and then move from their current home to their new one, and then hand over the keys.
That's a great scenario.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So now I want to play out one more scenario on the sell side of things. On the buy side of things. And we're up against our time here, so let's be relatively quick with this. But what about if I find the home of my dreams and I still haven't sold house number one?
Great question.
What happens in that scenario? What do I do? So, and Matt, in preparation, we talked a little bit about this and we said, you know, let's play out worst case scenario for you. You know, let's say we start shopping for a home, you know, right now, and you, make an offer on a home, on April 1st. You're probably not going to have to close on that home until around May 15th. Right. So you've got 45 days. If you're getting a loan, it should take about 45 days to
close. So it's a contingent offer. Maybe they have accepted it, right?
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly.
And the clock's on. You got to sell. Otherwise, you're going to lose that house.
Yes. But no, and you would like to sell, but you don't sell.
Okay.
But so you might actually have to face double mortgage payments.
Okay.
So you close on, you make an offer on April 1st. You won't have to close until May 15th. And then you actually skip June's payment. Your first mortgage payment wouldn't be until July. So if you put in an offer on April 1st, you would have April, May, and June, and it wouldn't be until July that you would have double payments. So you actually have...
If you had the funds, if your loan didn't require you
exactly.
to sell.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so that's the worst case scenario in most cases. Mm-hmm. And somebody that's, you know, getting a mortgage, has a house to sell, and their home doesn't sell. And if they make an offer, it's typically about 90 days and maybe even more.
And so in that situation too, let's say you could put down a minimum, and then when you get your money out of your house that you're selling, you could do that type of loan that you were talking about before, where they kind of reconfigure your loan payments and down payment.
And I think the, you know, you really need to be, again, focused on the big picture. What is ultimately the goal that you're trying to accomplish? So when you don't have the dream home picked out, right, and you're just trying to sell your home, so many sellers are emotionally involved, right? And we can have deals fall apart over a relatively minor amount of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Small, right. You know, we're $1,000 apart, $2,000 apart, $3,000 apart. When you have time against you, right? And you found that new home and perhaps you've even closed on it like you just ran the scenario on, and you haven't sold your current home, that's time to get aggressive. That's right. Time to throw all the, you know, emotions aside and just, you know, focus on what's the most important thing, and that is getting that new home. So making a point to price that home right, if you haven't done so already, doing those maybe improvements or repairs that people have maybe gave you comments on, and just really, again, trying to do everything you can to get that home sold to minimize, you know, the fact that you might have looming double payments.
Yeah. Well, we covered a lot of ground today on a great topic that I think is going to be really useful for a lot of people out there. So thank you guys for sharing your knowledge. And just to recap, it's basically have a plan. Sit down with a professional beforehand. If you have to sell your home, make sure that the agent that you're working with has a plan, will put it together, knows how to market homes, knows how to price your home correctly and get it sold, and go out there and start looking. And depending on whatever your scenario might be, I should say before we move forward to that, get pre-approved. Figure out if you must sell your home to qualify for the other one. get the home prepped and ready to go and get out there and start shopping. And as soon as you do find the home of your dreams, get that other home listing and get it sold. All right. Well, good job today, guys. I think that was a great topic. Excited to share. This is the Honestly Real Estate Podcast. Follow us on anywhere you can get podcasts, on iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud. And thanks to our friends here at Podcast Detroit. We'll see you right back here in 2 weeks on Honestly Real Estate.